So what is Buddhist etiquette? Is there any one of you who has attended Buddhist etiquette classes before? Huh? Koming-san. Anybody else? So what do you all learn there? How to chuan hai chi. So usually, still don't know. So did y'all bring your Hai Qing and your, nobody bring So do y'all, whatever you're wearing later we fold. Buddhist etiquette. Today we'll look at the purpose of it and then also the what to do. The to-dos. Okay? And also the not to do. Ever since I started using this tablet, my handwriting has gone from bad to worse. Yeah. In the past was engineer handwriting, now becoming doctor. Every time I look at my handwriting, it's like, chalak. Yeah, because usually when I do counseling, I will write. Then because when you do a lot of writing, your handwriting become better. Nowadays, this seldom write. So, yeah. Okay, so what is the purpose of Buddhist etiquette? What do you all think? What is the purpose? At the first place, what is etiquette? It is an English word, not Buddhist term, etiquette. What is etiquette? Explain in English. What is etiquette? Li yi. What is li yi? Etiquette. What is a table? Zuo zi. What is a zuo zi? Table. Yeah. She's not wrong, but never explain. Yes.
Okay,
so that is one type of etiquette. Yeah. What else?
Protocol, good manners.
Yes. So we can say that etiquette is about manners. Okay, let me try. Don't give me pressure, okay? I try to write properly. Manners, protocol, and respect. In short, we are talking about a certain set of behaviors. Yeah, a certain set of behaviors pertaining to certain interaction. Yeah, so etiquette is not just within Buddhism. Yeah, there is table etiquette, like the Western table etiquette. Then there's also the Eastern table etiquette. There's etiquette that you observe in the library. What is the etiquette in the library? To maintain certain silence. But times have changed. Nowadays, when you go to the library, some parts are quiet, some parts are quite lively. Yeah. And some libraries nowadays even have a cafe there. Last time, library is library. Oh, very strict. So etiquette can also change. Yeah, depending on the circumstances, time, and place. Yeah, what other kind of etiquette do you know of? What other kind of etiquette? Have you all ever gone to, let me see, like when you attend a lecture in the university, is there an etiquette there? Actually, there's supposed to be. But, unspoken etiquette. Yeah, actually in the student's handbook there's a written. Yeah, but usually as undergraduates we don't bother. Yeah, you're supposed to dress smartly to attend the lecture. You're supposed to arrive beforehand on time, a timely fashion, and you're not supposed to use your communication devices and so on and so forth, you know. Yeah. I lecture at ESSEC French Business School. And they actually have a short list of the expected etiquette of students. Yeah, so lecturers, we are allowed to enforce it, and it includes asking the students to close their laptop, switch off their handphone or not use their handphone, and so on. Yeah. So then the question is, in all these different places, you find that the etiquette is slightly different. Yeah. Certain places is about the attire, certain places is about the behavior, others is about the interaction. Yeah. So different places enforce and uphold different kinds of etiquette to serve different purposes. Take library, for example. Yeah, we mentioned earlier, in a library we are expected to do what? Maintain some level of silence. Yeah. Does it mean that if you talk in a library you are evil? No. Yeah. Are you evil for talking in a library? No, right? Yeah. If it's then is it evil to make noise in the library? No. If there's fire, then you, excuse me. Yes? There's fire. What? Fire. Oh, okay. If it's fire, is the alarm in the library like silent? Ting 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 ting. How does the alarm in the library sound like? Same, right? So under certain circumstances, the etiquette can be overridden. Yeah, for safety, for human life, where something more, even more important, comes in place. Yeah, so keep this in mind later when we are going into Buddhist etiquette. Yeah, are there such exceptions? Yeah. So first of all, they serve a certain purposes. In the case of library, it's quite obvious because we want to have an environment that is conducive for people to do what? Reading. Yeah. But of course, sometimes in public libraries, you see the small kids running around. But nowadays, they want small kids to go there and run around. So they have places for them to run around. Then sometimes students, during the exam period, they go there and sit there and they do homework. Yeah, they do the assessment. And sometimes friends, then they chit-chat, yeah, and so on. But when they do that, sometimes it becomes disruptive to others who are trying to read books. Yeah. So etiquette serves certain purposes, not simply to maintain some respect, but in many cases, it's for practical purposes. Although in some cases, by the time we learn about it, it is not so apparent. For example, Western etiquette. How many of you have attended Western table etiquette before? How many of you? Anyone? One? Two? Three? Oh, I'm one of the one. When I was in JC, there was one such class. Yeah, it's not part of the curriculum, but it was one of those, you know, ad hoc workshop. So when I saw it, I said, oh, that's interesting, I signed up. And then I remember my friend, should I mention the name? Okay, it's quite funny. So I would always visit him in the art room. Yeah, I was not an art student, he's also not an art student, we are both science students, but he took art on top of the science subjects. So I visited him, and then I told him about it, and then he's like, aiyah, for etiquette, no need lah, just eat lah. And then one friend looked at us, and then she said, the one who need to, don't attend. The one who don't need to, is attending. Etiquette, yeah. When we look at Western etiquette, yeah, how do you drink soup? Yes, you sweep out, right? Yeah, Chinese, sweep in. So who is correct? So if we compare two etiquette about the same thing, sometimes we find conflict, you know. Yeah, but it doesn't make one more right than the other, and that's where sometimes it's meaningful to know the background behind the etiquette, the mindset. Yeah. Are you aware, those who attended the Western table etiquette, did y'all learn about the reason why it is, you know, scoop out and not scoop in?
I remember it's like don't spill the thing, because you have to leave out, let's say at the end of the soup, there's only
Ah, okay. So that's one reason that she has heard. How about the rest? Can you remember? No, huh? Anybody else who attended the Western etiquette?
Maybe I can get. Because you don't knock into the bowl.
Oh.
Maybe you scoop in your knock into the bowl.
I remember the sound, so it's not to make less sound.
Yeah, not to king clang, king clang. Yeah, and then when you drink, you cannot slip. Yeah. Can you put the whole spoon in? Yeah, not supposed to, you know. Yeah, even the fork, depending on which country, American, British, and the rest of Europe, each one has some subtle nuances. You kick out, then after that, you're supposed to bite the food and pull it out. Not supposed to. Yeah. So some of this is about a certain culture. Yeah. It's about to maintain a certain level of culture. Yeah. The one about scooping the soup, yeah, the common one that we hear is about, you know, not spilling it and not making sound. I also heard of one, I don't know how true, you all can go and verify, okay? And it's about how the idea is that when you scoop the soup, yeah, because the direction is not simply when you are finishing the soup. Even right at the start, when the bowl is full, you scoop outwards. Yeah. And the one I heard is that the mindset not to just be thinking about giving to yourself. Yeah, but I don't know whether this is an add-on by the teacher who was teaching us. So maybe you all can go and check, okay? Huh? So then, apart from the worldly etiquette, how about Buddhist etiquette? Yeah, the truth is, even when we attend a full, like a full 1 hour, 1.5 hours, in a way, Buddhist etiquette is insufficient to just teach in one class, because the full etiquette is about staying in the monastery. Yeah, from the moment you wake up in the morning, yeah, what to do, and it's not just about the behavior. In the Chinese Mahayana tradition, there's a set of behavioral code. Yeah, we call it Pini Ri Yong. Yeah, Pini literally is a short form of Pinaye, yeah, Vinaya. Yeah, you know Vinaya? Vinaya, are you all familiar with the term? Yeah. What does Vinaya mean? Huh? Usually we think of it as the rules for the monastics. Yeah. Strictly speaking, Vinaya refers to the rules. Yeah. A set of the training rules. It includes the monastic training rules, but it also includes all the other fourfold communities. Yeah. So lay people's precepts is also under the Vinaya. Vinaya is a whole body of teachings, yeah, that includes the training rules, how to train yourself, yeah, how to behave, yeah, such that you are more in tune slowly towards enlightenment. Yeah. But some of the etiquette inside Vinaya is actually not just about your own practice. It's also about how when you are doing your practice and you are living together with others, or you are sharing a hall with others, or when you are on a journey with others, how do you behave? So strictly speaking, if you want to talk about Buddhist etiquette, we all must stay together, you know. from a moment you wake up in the morning, then every single detail. Yeah. When you wake up, what is the right mindset? Yeah, because Buddhist etiquette is two-pronged. Both the behavior, which is body and speech, and also the mindset, yeah, which is the mind part. Usually when we talk about etiquette, it's mainly about behavior. And in fact, when you look at Yi Gui, yeah, Fu Men Li, it seems like it's also mainly about the behavior. Yeah, but however, behind the behavior, there's usually a set of guidelines, a set of advice, yeah, or sometimes direct verses from the suttas, from the Vinaya, yeah, about what kind of aspiration to have. Yeah, so just as an example, last time I mentioned waking up, right? Yeah, so the moment you wake up and when you sit up, what kind of mindset to have? And as you put down your legs from the bed down onto the floor, to have a certain kind of mindset. Yeah, all the way, you know, throughout the whole day. The common ones that we know is, oh, before we eat, we must do some prayers. Yes. Some of these are actually part of the full set. Yeah, it's just that usually we share with you just part of it. Yeah, why? Because part of it already not so easy. Huh? Yeah, if one day we just give you all the few hundred, why, all of you headache. So, the purpose, one, to guard ourselves, yeah, guard the senses. We can say that the purpose, of course, ultimately for us to practice towards enlightenment. Yeah. So, but it can be grouped into guarding of the senses. Yeah, so many times when we talk about Buddhist etiquette, the way we walk, the way we stand, yeah, the way we sit, when we are in the hall, yeah, the moment you step in, what do you do? Yeah, usually in the Chinese Mahayana tradition, the moment you enter into the monastery, there are usually three doors. Yeah, we usually don't go through the main door. Yeah. In the traditional temple, the main door is closed. Yeah, only the side doors are open. Yeah, the main door is reserved for visiting abbots, or let's say, usually it's like if the emperor come, bo pian, have to open, you know. Yeah, you like it or not, you don't open, he's gonna bash through, so better open. Yeah, or let's say a visiting master arrive, then the abbot, yeah, or the deputy will open the door and welcome the visiting master in. Yeah. So usually when we enter the hall, when we come in, we take one of the side door. Yeah. And this is directly a reflection on our own cultivation. Yeah. To practice some level of humility. Yeah. And not to be, wow, you know, the moment you come in, Chinese we say, 敲锣打鼓, when we come into a place, make a grand entrance. But so you think about it, this is quite different from modern education. What does modern education tell us to do? When you go and join into an activity, make sure you come in and make an entrance. Hello, everybody! So I have to exude confidence, yeah? Make eye contact, hello, yes. And then wave. Yeah. When you go in Mahayana street, do you do that? Next week, everybody come in, hello everybody, Namo Tassa, hello everybody. Usually when we go and step in, and then there's even mention of, if you are going in by the left, then you go in with your left leg, left feet first. Yeah, your left foot enter, then your right foot enter. Yeah. Part of that is what? It's actually practical reasons, you know. Yeah. If two person is going through the same doorway, yeah, and you're keeping to the left, but you enter with your right foot, and the other person also come out with the right foot, then your leg will langa. Your leg will hit each other, you know. I'm serious, no? This is what one master told us. He said, actually, a lot of this etiquette started off with very practical consideration. It's just that Chinese usually don't like to explain too much. Yeah, like to be very zen, you know. I don't have to tell you, you don't have to tell me, we know. You don't have to, which way are you going? Are you going this way? You go, okay. Don't have to. So everybody just know. Some of these actually have influence from Chinese culture. Yeah, Chinese culture. A lot of the, you know, the early scholars like Lao Tzu, Zhuang Zi, Meng Zi, all the Zi, a lot of them have slightly different thoughts and philosophy, but some of the underlying principle is that everybody have their own role and place to do. And if all of us know, then everything is in harmony. Yeah, so some of the, you know, the way Buddhist etiquette is being expressed were influenced by Chinese culture also. Yeah, so in Chinese temple, usually when you go in, you're expected to know what to do already. Yeah, so usually no orientation or what. Nowadays we have orientation. So then after you cross the first doorway, then you go in, and usually if there's a Buddha statue, then you walk around. You don't just cut across the main. Yeah, you walk by the side. Then you go to the towards the second level of door. Then you enter the first the small hall. Yeah, the first minor hall, and that's usually where. Recently, when we go to the Long the Shuangling Si, yeah, they have the Sida Tian Wang, then the Mila Fo, those who came that day, yeah. Then usually Wei To Pusa is behind, so then you pay your respects, yeah. So along the way, some people when they go to temple, they go there to take photos, but usually when they go to temple, you're supposed to start to do what? Guard your senses. How to guard your senses? How to guard? Not take stickers, block your eyes, block your ears, but withdraw from the senses. Yeah. As you enter, keep your gaze downwards. Yeah, not go in and look around. Wow, hey, this one quite nice. no. Just very mindfully, yeah. Go to where you intend to and just walk there. Yeah. And then if you encounter any seniors, then what do? You put your palms together and then you bow. Yeah. Depending on the tradition, in some traditions, you would express the respect. Yeah, just now Sun Hao mentioned about expressing respect. Yeah, that's part of the etiquette. How do you show respect to others? How do you show respect? You bow, isn't it? Yeah. So in Buddhist etiquette, how do we show respect? So we put our palms together. Yeah. I might need one volunteer to help me hold the mic. You can do it? You confident? maybe you stand here, because the camera is there. Otherwise, you are blocking me. Yeah, I stand here. Okay. Then, my head is here. My head is not here. Why? Kaka, lie. Ah, lie. Here, yes. Okay, so how do you all do... Hezang. So Hezang, or also called He Shi, Chinese word He means to come together, yeah, to be united. Shi means 10. So the 10 fingers must come together. Now, in different traditions, sometimes they do it slightly differently. From what I can remember, sometimes in Thailand they cup their fingers. Yeah. In Tibetan tradition, they also cup their fingers, yeah. And for Tibetan tradition, sometimes you don't see them stand upright like that. Yeah, they will bow, and they make sure that if the teacher is this tall, then they make sure that the head is lower than the teacher. Yeah, like for Sifu. So like for example, if I very good. yeah. But if you are very tall, then the Rinpoche or the Guru is very short. Then how? Then you must really kneel down. you cannot stand upright. Like that, cannot. Yeah. Why? Because typically in some cultures, it's seen as a respect to be lower than your teacher. Yeah. In ancient times, it is said that they will even carry the teacher, you know. Yeah. Did Sifu ask any of you to carry? don't have to. Last time, in Buddha's time, they even carried the teacher. They don't bear to let the teacher take one step. Oh, Sifu, I carry you. So when they see a senior, see a teacher, then they put their palms together. In Pali, this is called Anjali. Yeah, Anjali. Yeah, and it basically means a form of respect towards the other person. So on the streets, let's say you go to Orchard Road, then suddenly you see one sifu. I mean, don't ask me why the sifu is in Orchard Road lah, okay? I mean, y'all don't always think sifu see some sifu in Orchard Road means go kai kai, no? Yeah? Maybe there's some interfaith conference, then they organize, then all the religious leaders go there. Then that sifu don't have car, then take MRT, then that's why you see him. So when you see someone out in the open, then what must you do? Must bow, right? Do prostration. What if you are crossing the road halfway? And then you... So there's a time and place also. Under certain circumstances, then you don't do a full prostration. Usually when you're in the like open, public open places, we usually don't. When there's safety issue, so like crossing the street, don't do it. In the distance, don't bow. Okay? When you see a monk in the distance, just make eye contact. And if you want to pay respect, walk towards the monk. Don't go like. Oh, please. Oh. Please don't ever do like. Also, don't in the distance bow. Because in the distance, the sifu maybe never see you. Or maybe if it's in the distance, the sifu is walking in another direction. But the moment you bow, the sifu have to wait for you to finish bowing. So in the Vinaya, it actually explicitly say, when you want to bow, make sure you come towards that person, then you do your bow. Whether it's a bow or a full prostration. Then another thing about etiquette when you do bowing. So for example, let's say someone that I want to pay respect to is in front of me. What must you do? I give you three examples, okay? First example, like that. Second example, third example, which one? Third, don't like that, and don't like. Yeah, don't do it in a rush like that, then quickly like, yeah. But I still so understand, sometimes when we're in the public, we shy, ma. Are you all shy? Shy, right? Do some more practice. Yeah, do more practice. Next time when you're out on the street, text sifu, I go. let you practice, okay? When you want to do a bow, do it properly, yeah. Some students ever ask me, but Sifu, sometimes I see a Sifu in the street, I don't know whether real monk or fake monk, you know. Ayo, why you bother? This is what I advise some students. When you bow respectfully, maybe it's really a fake monk, you know, but when you really bow respectfully, it may cause that fake monk to be ashamed of what the fake monk is, and then inspire that fake monk to be a real monk. Yeah. And if you bow respectfully, even if that fake monk is selling things, some of the fake monks really selling things, then maybe he also, for that split second, then in that split second, maybe someone in the distance don't know whether that one is fake or real, but know that your bowing is real. And remind that person of the triple gem. So don't worry about whether that one is fake or real. Make sure you are real. Okay? So doing bowing. Then, if you, what if, like just now we say, don't know whether fake or real. What if you don't know that sifu? Do you bow? Some of you, you should also bow, okay? Don't just say, I only attend SGC, so only sifu bow, the rest. Who is that man? Dalai Lama, I don't bow. No lah, of course Dalai Lama, you all go on the floor already. Yeah. Don't have this kind of discrimination. Okay? Whether it's Sifu, this Sifu or other Sifu, as long as you see this person looks like a monastic, you bow. Yeah. Why? Because if you see any monastics, whether they wear the full robe, or they just wear this, or they are wearing Tibetan robes, or they are wearing the Theravadan robes, they are a reminder. Hey, you stand slightly behind. Don't block the view. Extend your hand. Gangkang, extend. Yes. So they are a reminder of what? Reminder of the triple gem. Reminder of Sangha, and because every Sangha must be ordained by 10 fully qualified monks. Yeah? And they in turn, each of them must have been ordained similarly. And their master must have been ordained in the same way. And all this can be traced all the way back to one person. Who? Sakyamuni Buddha, yes. Yeah. And that's why the moment you see a monk, you can be reminded of the Buddha, and then from the robes, the teachings, and the embodiment, the Sangha. So the triple gem all together. Huh? Yeah. How about fake monk? Just now we say. Even fake monk, the fact that you say fake monk also remind you, right? If there's no distinction, then no need have to say fake monk, right? If it's fake, then remind you of what is real. Also good one. Yeah? So if you see a fake monk, go there, thank you for reminding me of what a real monk is. next time, don't go to that neighborhood anymore. So besides this bowing, what else? Sometimes in your day-to-day, maybe what other ways to pay respect? Full prostration. So today you all didn't bring your Hai Qing or anything. I will go through with you how to do a full prostration. Okay? And also the hand gesture, the mudra. Huh? Okay? Are you all ready? So come, let's stand up. So just now I mentioned about how Buddhist etiquette is a form of training as well. Yeah, it helps us to train ourselves towards enlightenment. Yeah? But at the forefront is guarding our senses. Yeah, then there's also other parts, which is to prevent ourselves from disturbing others. Disturbing others. So including things like when we are eating, not to make sound. Yeah, that's actually part of Buddhist etiquette also. When you eat, eat with your mouth closed, not to make smacking sound. Yeah, the translation literally says no smacking of lips. Cannot. Yeah, sometimes Sifu, you know, during a talk, joke, nyam, 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 nyam. But if you, have you ever seen me eat nyam, nyam? I think only in your dreams. Yeah, or things like that. So how do you do a full prostration? First, you start off with your palms together. Okay? Very important. You can keep your legs width apart, or you can also put it together. But don't do it like that. Okay? Then make sure that you have about maybe one arm length in front of whatever is in front of you. Otherwise, you'll knock into people's behind. When I was a small kid, when I went to the temple with my family, whenever we do the prayers, every time I knock into auntie's backside. Yeah, sometimes uncle, not always auntie. Why? Because that time don't know how to do prostration. No? Then the timing off. So when people coming out, I'm going up. How to go down? So what you are doing is in Chinese called He Zang. Now the next thing I want to teach you is Fang Zang. Okay? So what is Fang Zang? Come. Stand here. Hold this. And hold this. Hold with this hand. And then, yes. Like that. Yes. So Fang Zang, He Zang, right? And Fang Zang, watch, don't do first. Fang Zang. Okay, so the thumbs don't come apart. Yes, so left is below, check yourself, left is below, right is on top. Then, 合掌, 放掌, 合掌, 放掌. You don't think it's funny, when we went for the higher ordination, whole day, 合掌, 放掌, 放掌. Yeah. So, in the Chinese Mahayana tradition, when we do this, our palms must be horizontal. So, rightly speaking, it's somewhere between your upper rib and the mid torso. Yeah, somewhere here. So it's horizontal. Of course, now I teach you this is the standard, okay? You don't go to some temple, then you see some old master like that. Then you say, Fasi? Please, don't. 你是不是在传官法师? Please, don't. Whatever we learn, use it for yourself. Don't go around. Okay? Yeah. So, if you think about it, holding it this way, it may feel okay, but after a while, you may feel tired, right? So, when you check your shoulders, is it relaxed? Oftentimes when we do this, our shoulders is also up, so it's supposed to be relaxed, yeah, but not slouching. Relaxed but not slouching. And then why put it in this way? Because in the traditional Chinese Mahayana lineage, we wear haiqing. So when we put on our precept robes, it will go down, and then this sleeve, this is changgua, and this is already improved from the Tang Dynasty. Tai Shi Da Shi, he did a gaige, so he string the sleeves. The original one, which is the Hai Qing, yeah, is actually very long, and you will go down the same length. Yeah. So when you put your palms together this way, the two will go down in uniform. Yeah. So it looks very, very uniform. But in normal days, you are not wearing that. So, but when you go to the temple, attend a puja, then you put your palms together like this also. So, 放掌, then 合掌. So, usually in the hall, over here, I don't enforce most of the etiquette. Usually in the Chinese temple, all the men will be on this side, front. Women will be on this side and behind. Yeah. Don't ask me why this is like that, this is like that. Okay? In fact, if you go to even more traditional one, monastery, only all the monks and men. No such thing as female coming in to join in puja. And then nunnery, only nuns. Fair. Yeah, men don't go to nunnery. Women don't go. In fact, today, when you see one side men, one side women, this is already very open compared to the past. So, then what happened? Why is there 合掌, 放掌? So when we are facing the front, then usually it's 合掌. Then sometimes you are facing the center. Yeah. Then facing center, if let's say the Sangha is going out, you 合掌. Sangha or the chief monk coming in, yeah, the seniors coming in, you also 合掌. And then when you are waiting, then usually the instructor will say, 好, 诸位, 放掌, then you put it down and you just wait. Then let's do the bowing. Okay, so 合掌. So again, when we in Chinese Mahayana tradition, when I was still a novice, that time I had a bit of influence from Tibetan tradition. So when I see seniors, oh, kena scolded. Yeah, one of the instructor, 站好. Oh. 大丈夫, 怎么年纪轻轻的, 驼背啊, yeah. Young man, yeah, you are young. Why are you standing like you are old man? Yeah, In the Chinese tradition, when you stand, you must stand upright. But in some other traditions, this is being very proud. So different cultures, the etiquette shift. So when you do a bow, before you do a bow, you must know the sequence. Usually that's the first bell for you to do a bow. And in actual fact, in a full puja, you are usually facing the side. So let me demonstrate. Usually you are facing the side. You stand here. And then give me the mic. So you are usually facing each other, right? Then the Wenuo would... Then you will go in front and bow. And you hold it there. And then you come up. Then after that, there will be a series of drums. Then you will hear three bells. And this is where you prostrate down. Don't do it first. Later I will demonstrate to you. Then you come up only when you hear the bell. And when you stand up again, you make sure that your attire is proper. Then you put your palms together again. Then you wait for the next bell. And the final one. And then the last bow. Okay, so this is the full prostration, consisting of one bow in front, three prostration, then one bow to close it up. Okay, so how do you do the bow? So when you hear the bell, your hand is initially like this. So just now I teach you how to do fang zhang, right? So when you bow down, different lineages in the Chinese tradition do it slightly differently also. So the one that I'm familiar with, as you go down, you do a fang zhang. Yeah. So as you go down, then you change it into this, then you bow. Yeah, so the bow is an expression of the inner veneration. Yeah, so again, do it wholeheartedly. Don't do it half-heartedly. Make sure you really bow down, and don't be in a rush to come up. Wait for the next bell to arise. So you bow. And if you're wearing your precept robes, then what we do is we usually have one, the right hand, we'll cup it, and then the right hand hold it, so that the robes don't fall all over. Yeah. So what we do is we will go down, so that you see the robes are still aligned. Then we come up. Yeah. So that's the first bow. Then after that, we do a prostration. Yeah, I'm going to face this direction so you can see the side profile. Maybe you can stand on this side. And then the mic. So when you do a prostration, as you go down, ignore the rope for now because you are not wearing the ropes. So when you go down, those who are wearing ropes, you are supposed to open up the rope so you don't crease it. Yeah, you don't kneel down on it. Yeah, but in the other tradition, like Theravadan tradition, the ropes they are wearing is the rope they are wearing. They cannot open it up. They open up them, they are bare body. So a bit different. Tibetan tradition, they would usually, if those who have received higher ordination, they will have the yellow color one, which is double layer. We also have that. Theravadan also have a two-layer one. But Tibetan tradition, when they're attending some of those grand puja or let's say receiving some teachings, then they will wear that robe, and when they are doing their prostration, they will open up and cover, and then they'll do their prostration and the robe is open up all the way. Yeah. And then when they stand up, they will hold it and they come up. Then after that, they will. Yeah. Oh, Chinese tradition is always hook. Yeah. And then we unveil it. Then as we go down, the left hand stays with your chest, right hand reaches down. Once you reach almost the full extent where your body can reach, or more or less towards here, then you bend your knees. Okay? So I'm going to unveil here so you can see what happens to my leg. The feet don't move. Okay? The feet itself don't move. And you bend until certain point, and then you lift up your heels and you land with your palms. Your knees is nowhere near the feet, the ground yet. Then you go down. So this is why, if you do it mindfully in this way, there's only one part of the body that is involved in a major step each time. And you will not hear bra bra bra. Then once you are in this position, left hand slightly in front, then right hand come together, and you bow down. And as you reach the bottom, it's not okay, I cannot hear myself. So as you reach down, then you clasp your palm, turn it around, unclasp it, and bow. Then you wait for the bell. Then, and you do the reverse, clasp your palms again, turn it around, come up. So I know of another tradition where they hold it this way and they come up. So the lineage that I was trained in, when you are at this position, you open your palms again, so you do the exact opposite. Okay? Then you retract your right hand closer to your knee, or closer to your knee. Then retrieve your left hand, push yourself up, support yourself with your right hand. So at this point, what is happening? You're actually pivoting on your toes, okay? And you push yourself up, and this is how it's done, okay? So, So if you're wearing the full robe, then when you come up, then you should adjust yourself, make sure your ropes are in order. Then the next bow. If you were to do it right, your feet doesn't move. So when, let's say you do pass pa fo, you bow many, many times in the whole morning. You go for qian fo, wan fo, your feet actually doesn't move. If your feet move, that means you are doing not the correct way. Let me show you the wrong way. The wrong way is when you're going down, then you one leg move away. Like that. So by right, both feet are together, nothing else move. Because the moment you move around, you see the ropes come up already. Okay? Any questions? Are you all ready? Let's try. So I will strike the bell, and then you all do one step at a time, okay? Her Zhang. 问讯 supposed to stay down until you hear the next bell. Then down. So hang on, okay, up again. So when you go down, make sure that once you reach like a bowing position, your right hand must extend out. So don't kneel down with your two knees. Go, go. Okay? One more time. Okay, so knees down. Okay, very good. And then turn your, flip your palm. And then flip back. Retrieve your right hand. Make sure your right hand is near to your knees. Okay, nearer, nearer. Yeah, and your palm, make sure it's flat on the ground, okay? Don't bend it and support. You will break your fingers. Okay, then your left hand up to your chest. Okay, and then push yourself up. You must push yourself up. Yes, correct. Okay, I know some of you shorthand. Okay, one more time. Okay, go down. First step, okay, good. Up. Yes, very good. Getting better. Okay, stand up. Together. Final time. Very good. Wow, huge improvement. Don't be so kanchong. Go down, go down. And when you are bowing down, check your shoulders, check your body, check your hips, totally relax. Yeah, be at peace with prostrating down on the floor. Yeah. Then you find that, wow, actually even when prostrating, your body is tense up, you know. Okay, up. Very good. Then do the bow. Yes. Let's see how many of you come up. Okay, and up. Okay, so now the last part. The last part, when you bow and when you come up, so when you come up, right, so from this, initially it was like this, then you go down, then when you come up, what do you do? What you do is hold the thumb, and as you come up, lift up your two index finger to form some sort of a triangle. Yes. So your palms, only your fingers are overlapping, not like that, but slightly apart. Yeah. So your elbows can be more upright. So it's a very stately, dignified manner, you know, like. Yeah. So when you do this, make sure your hands are open up, not like that, huh? And also don't bring your head to your finger, okay? Sometimes forget that we do that, huh? So when you come up, and when you finish, then he zang again. When you do it properly, oh, the other person feel the energy, you know? Oh, really feel that you are, I mean, you think about it, when someone really do this very nicely to you, the feeling is different. Now if someone like, you think about just what I did just now versus like that, which one do you feel more, not impressed, no, more touched? Yeah. Simply for the fact that when you take the time to do it, you are devoting part of your life to that person, you know. Likewise, if someone bow to you in this way, yeah, let's say your Dharma brother and sister during retreat, then the person see you, then the person, like, you're not sufu also, but the person, for whatever reason, see you, then wow, I think that whole day you sit very well. you feel tired? No, cannot. Oh, I must really practice. Just the power of our bodily expression, you know? So, any question? Yes. Thank you.
The bowing part, does the hip rest on the heel?
So when we, yes, when we bow all the way down, rightly speaking, the whole body is almost flat. But our feet, right, don't flip over. Our feet remains as it is. Yeah. So for example, you observe Sifu. So when we bow down, so if you look at this, this part is as close as it gets. Some of you may be slightly higher, some lower, but it depends on where you put your hand. If you put very far, right, it will come up. Yeah, so you shouldn't be too far forward, okay? It shouldn't be too close. So you start off, when you bow down, it's like this, right? Then your one hand is one hand away, so it's quite close. So that when you bow down, can you all see? Thank you. Okay, where is that? Can? Yes. Any other questions? So, there's many more. How do you all feel when you do the prostration? Is it easy? Some easy, some not so easy. When I was in the US, I was for a period of time serving as guest monk. So whenever visitors come, I have to introduce them to the monastery and answer their questions. And sometimes they ask how to bow and so on. So I teach them. And some of the Westerners, the Ang Mo, then they say, "Wow, a bit difficult, huh?" Yeah. And that's the thing. If you take the time to do your prostration, you'll find that by the time you finish three bow, your mind is settled already. Isn't it? Yeah. You cannot be thinking about too many things if you want to do it properly. Yeah. Otherwise, you will trip over yourself. So many of the different parts of Buddhist etiquette is in a way designed to help your mind settle down. Without giving you a further word of instruction, you are honed in that way. Yeah. I remember, I want to just wrap up with one experience I had when I visited Angkor Wat. Yeah. Have you all been to Angkor Wat? Those who have not been, the Angkor Wat, the temple itself, the monastery itself, it's not just one period, it's over some period. So there's Hindu, there's Buddhist elements in it. The one thing that struck me was the staircases. Yeah, if you have been there or you go and search Google, you find that the staircase is very steep. Yeah. When you look at the photo, it looks steep. Wait till you climb it. And you know what happened? As I was climbing it, something struck me. I found that even during that trip, it was an interfaith conference. So we have religious leaders from all the different faiths going there, from different countries. From Singapore, I was the only Buddhist monk for that matter. Yeah. And although they are all not Buddhist, when they were going up, you know what happened? They were all very mindful. Yeah. So sometimes Buddhist temples, when we look at it from modern eyes, it feels like, why design like that, not safe and things like that. But it's actually designed to, in a way, enforce an etiquette in you. Yeah. Don't have to tell you, don't chit-chat. When you are climbing that stairs, you don't want to chit-chat also. You climb very carefully because it's very steep. The same I found in Bhutan. Yeah, Bhutan. For Bhutan, it's very interesting. Even the palace is like that. Yeah, many of the structures, you have to climb very steep staircase. So by the time you go up, your mind is, okay. Yeah, quiet already. No time to wonder about. So when we go to temples, regardless of the tradition, although I was ordained in the Chinese Mahayana tradition, and today mainly on the bowing of the Chinese Mahayana tradition, in future maybe I can share with you all some other traditions that I have been exposed to also. So feel free to visit other temples and learn more. Okay? If there's no other questions, we'll put our palms together, do dedication, and then try out what you have learned. Okay? Let me check. Very good. Oi, oi. Second bell. Okay, very good. Now, Wen Shin. Okay, then come down. Final note, when we bow down and we flip our palms, according to the teaching, it is a physical expression to help us visualize that we're not bowing to a statue, that you visualize the Buddha literally in front of you. And you're receiving him at your feet. I mean, not your feet, your head at his feet. Yeah, the lotus feet, and then bowing down there. And then you come up. Okay? Good. Okay, we haven't do Hui Xiang, huh? Yuan Xiao San Zhang Zhu Fan Nao. 愿得智慧真明了，愿得智慧真明了，普愿罪障悉消除，普愿罪障悉消除，世世常行菩萨道，世世常行菩萨道，阿弥陀佛。Today a lot of merit, bow so many times. Very good. Till we meet again, may be guided and protected by the Buddha, Dhamma, and Sangha.